Return to Colossians, the first chapter. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now this first chapter gives us our position as believers, and we see Christ as the head. And so the picture before us is Christ our head in heaven, and the believer looking up to heaven where his hope is. The apostle, first of all, commends what he can to these Christians. Now, you know, when we get together and we sit down at the table, except for possibly the smallest child, we all eat the same food. And I'm sure that there's nothing in this chapter but what is profitable and can be understood by every Christian, young and old. And it is written to believers. If there should be someone here this afternoon who does not know the Lord Jesus, it would be most difficult for you to really understand what we have in this chapter. Especially because this book, as well as Ephesians, these are the highest portions of Scripture that God has given us closing or completing the Word of God. And so when we read this chapter, that little word in the ninth verse should be filled with the full knowledge. The full knowledge. And in the 10th verse, the true knowledge. That helps to understand, I believe, much better. So we have the full knowledge now. It isn't just that we have partial knowledge, like in the Old Testament, but the path is made plain for all of us. The path of his will. The path that's pleasing to God. Now, everyone here who is a Christian can look back the time when Christ was very precious to them because of the work that was finished at Calvary. And the apostle is reminding the saints of this in this first chapter. The position we're in because of the work of Christ, not because of anything we have done. And so, we have, first of all, he has heard of the fruit. And you know, you don't get fruit unless there's life. And he mentions this, that there is fruit. And he commends the saints. And how good it is to look and see in one another that fruit as a result of the work of the Spirit of God. Not only in the older ones, but in the younger ones. And we like to see this. We like to see the fruit. God loves to see the fruit. And it's really that which is true of Christ now seen in the believer, is it not? And that's the fruit that God likes to see. And so, we have in the ninth verse then, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, now that refers to their faith and their love. Faith and love. Oh, how important these two things are, which characterize Christianity. Faith. What is faith? Well, of course, it's in a person, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So there's no such thing as faith, except it's based upon the Word of God. Now we have many voices today, and we're all subject in a measure to hearing these voices, but we don't need to respond to many of them. And the Word of God says if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. So everything we do then should be based upon the Word of God. Now the apostle notices this with these Christians, faith. But something else. The Lord tells his disciples in the 13th chapter of John, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, in that ye have love one to another. Now it isn't simply that we can say we have love to all the saints, but this brings it home close to us. Love one for another. And how many ways this can be demonstrated too. Love one for another. Now his desire that they might be filled with the full knowledge of his will. The full knowledge. Now that takes us on to the truth of the mystery, Christ and the church. There was much truth in the Old Testament, but it was in types and shadows, largely. But then there was truth in connection with the Lord Jesus and his ministry here on the earth. But then he also speaks of that which would be revealed to them later when the Spirit would come. And so today we have all the truth. All the truth. Think of it. Now that doesn't mean that we understand it all, but the apostle desired that this might be true of them, to come to the full knowledge of his will. This is directly in opposition to the will of the flesh. It's so natural for us to follow our reasoning minds. And this is an important statement for us to notice because the apostle is especially writing because of evil that was beginning to creep in. And the evil was connected with the minds of men, reasonings. And so he speaks of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now you know we don't get wisdom unless we get on our knees. God gives wisdom. That's the way we get it. And spiritual understanding. It's been said in the book of Proverbs that understanding is the wellspring of life. How much more precious then is spiritual understanding? Spiritual understanding. Not now in Proverbs, divine wisdom for an earthly path, but here we have divine wisdom for a heavenly path. And you and I have been called to a heavenly path. So, he says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. In Thessalonians, they had come out of idolatry, and they were told to walk worthy of God, in contrast to idols. Here, to walk worthy of the Lord. It's his headship that's in view. If we have been brought into a place where all the truth is given us, we would take that place of owning his headship and bowing to it. How important this is in everything. And unto all pleasing. All pleasing. Now when the Lord Jesus was here, he never did anything but what the Father told him. And everything he did was always pleasing in God's sight. Now, this should exercise our hearts because we have the very same life. We do not act in the measure in which Christ did, but we have the same life. Now, it isn't enough, you know, for a Christian to be told, don't do this or don't do that. We have to have an object before our hearts. We have to have Christ before us. Then we'll know what to do. Otherwise, we won't know. So, we have the person then, but he's the head before us here. Being fruitful in every good work. Being fruitful in every good work. Walk worthy of the Lord. Fruitful unto every good work. And increasing in the true knowledge of God. Now, if this is true of us, we won't seek our instruction from the world. We won't seek our instruction for the world in bringing up our family, or our schooling, or our work, or any part of our life. We will find our instruction in the Scriptures. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't need certain types of education. I'm not speaking of that. Because education may be affected by one not going to school at all. But education has its place. I'm not speaking of that. But I'm speaking of that which has to do with moral issues and our path as Christians through this world. How important it is to have our instruction from a book where we have the complete knowledge of God and the path that we're to take through this world. Now, is it that we have, are asked to do things that we do not have strength for? No. It says that strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. All power according to the might of his glory, I believe another translation reads. Think of it. The glory. Think of the tremendous power accompanying the glory of the Lord Jesus. It's likened to the whirlwind that took Elijah up. Yes, the might of his glory. Think of what a day it will be when he comes back in glory. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, he says this is the limit. This is the measure of your might. This is the measure of your power as a Christian. It's unlimited. It's a question of faith. But it's unto patience. Oh, how we need this. Patience and endurance and long-suffering. But then he adds with joy. That's the path for the believer. Patience, long-suffering, and joy. And giving thanks unto the Father. That is, we've been brought into a new relationship where we know the Father. In the Old Testament, they knew God as such. But now we've been brought into a closer place. The Father. So we can go to the Father, conscious that he is our Father. We address him as Father. How good this is. Place of nearness. And we give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Now, we have been made meet. And there's nothing more that you could do to make you more perfect or more ready for that glory scene. It's all finished at the cross of Christ. Now, there are many things that you can do here to enjoy the path that you're in. Or you may allow things in your life that will take that joy from you by disobedience. Both these things are true. But you couldn't be any more fit than you are when you take Jesus Christ as your Savior. And think of what you and I are made fit for. Made to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now we're going to be in that light forever. Isn't it in keeping now for us to walk practically in the light? Because we are in the light. And we can't get out of it. And we'll be in that light forever. So, it says, who hath delivered us from the power or authority of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Yes, we're in a kingdom, but it's a special kind of kingdom. We are in a place of authority, that's true. But it's the kingdom of the Son of his love. Oh, what a place to be in. And then he gives us how we've been brought in.
He speaks of redemption, and this is the completion of all his works. And in Ephesians 1, we find it associated with the assembly has been brought into blessing on this ground. Redemption. And we are redeemed through the precious blood of Christ. Now, if you'll turn with me to the third chapter, please.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Now, is this a set of laws that we have to follow? No, not at all. We're not under the law. But you know, we have a new nature, and we need to be instructed as to what the mind of God is. Here we have instruction for the Christian life. And we've been called unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. What kind of obedience is this? Well, it's the obedience of a nature that just loves to please God. And so we need to learn what would please God. And we have it here. Isn't that wonderful that we have such a provision for us? And that now that we are seen as those who have been raised, we're no longer of this world. We've been raised as those who belong to another scene entirely. In Colossians, we're not seen yet as seated in the heavenlies, as in Ephesians, but we are raised. And so that naturally, as believers who do not belong to this world, it's going on to destruction, you know. Going on to destruction. We're not to set our mind on things here. We have our cares, our everyday life. We have all these responsibilities. But you see, it's different to have our mind set on them as an object. That's really what the thought, I believe, is here. Not to have our mind set on the things of this world as an object. No, but we do have a right object. And that object has already entered the heavens. We're going to be there soon. We might be there this afternoon. I trust we will. Are our minds set on the place where we're going? That's the exhortation, I believe, here. I suppose if you received an inheritance today, you'd probably put the paper in the desk and forget it, would you? Surely not. You would want to see that inheritance, wouldn't you? Or you'd want to find out as much about it as you could. And so that's what we have here. We're going to go soon and receive our inheritance. Another thing, we have a life. It says here, you're dead. Yes, we're dead. As far as the old man is concerned, as far as that old thing that started out, it's gone forever. But we do have a new life, and that's hid with Christ in God. That's where our life is. And not merely what it should be practically, but that's where that life is. And so God is putting before us these truths because we're so slow to lay hold of our portion. Oh, how slow we are to realize really what that portion is. It's in the heavens, but it's with Christ. Now the angels are in the heavens, you know, but they'll never have a portion like you and I have. And so it says here, not only set your affection or mind on things above, but it adds, not on the things on the earth, or not on the things that are on the earth. So we have a negative here, not on things on the earth, because this is what we are so prone to do, to settle down in this world. Lot did, to his sorrow. And that's the danger of the believer, settling down here and making this world his object. And so he encourages us here, when Christ, who is our life. Now let's put that little word manifested in there instead of appearing. I believe it makes it clearer. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also be manifested with him? No, with him in glory. That's what's before us. And to think that all these things are going to be true very, very soon in glory. How are we going to spend our time here then, the little while that's left? Peter speaks about the rest of the time. How are we going to spend the rest of the time? He says the time past may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. But how about the rest of the time? And so he says, mortify or put to death your members. We have members on the earth. We express ourselves here in various ways. He says, put to death the members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection or vile passions, evil lusts and covetousness, or unbridled desire, which is idolatry. Put these things to death. Who is he speaking to? Speaking to believers. Not solemn? Yes, we have an old nature, and there never was a day when Satan is trying his best to get the whole world involved in that which characterized the days of Noah and the days of Sodom. And so we have the Bible is up to date. And the Spirit of God is warning us here of what could be true of the believer, lest it be true of us. Yes, if we have our affections set on Christ on high, There'll be no room for this. And he says the wrath of God is coming on the children of disobedience. And let it be a warning to any unsaved here that the wrath of God is coming upon such. And as Christians, may we be so in the enjoyment of our true portion as those who live, as it were, in the heavenlies, in soul experience, that these things may not be true of us. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Now that's a good word for us this afternoon. Has there been a break in our lives? Was there a time when we lived in them? And is it different now? Is it different now? Was it a certain way, but it's different now? Should be. Life has the property to express itself. And is it expressing itself? Our lives are hid with Christ in God. There should be that which is in keeping with that life. And so now he speaks of it in a little different way, as though we were taking a garment, an old garment, and we were going to take off that old garment. And then we're going to put on a new garment. So he says, now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication or vile language out of your mouth. Solemn, isn't it? That those who have such a high calling, placed in such a marvelous position, he has to speak to us that way. Do you know, there's a verse in the Psalm 139 that says, his enemies take his name in vain. His enemies take his name in vain. I said that to a man who professed to be a Christian once. Oh, he said, it's just a habit. Just a habit. What kind of a habit, though? The result of our minds set on Christ on high. Oh, how careless we often are in our language. I remember a brother who was a salesman selling farm machinery together with another salesman. And as they were speaking of this particular piece of equipment to a customer, this brother used a term that was not vile language, but it was something that he later was sorry he said. And his partner, who was not a Christian, he said, I never thought that of you. Never thought that of you. Oh, how careful we have to be as Christians, because we're here to render a testimony to the Lord Jesus while we're here. And our language, other things too, is important. And so it says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Well, that was done at the cross, wasn't it? And have put on the new man, which is renewed in full knowledge. Renewed. Renewed. Do we know what that word means? Renewed in full knowledge. This isn't an exhortation in this verse. This is what the truth tells us. We are. We are renewed. Is it practical with us? Is the point this afternoon. We are renewed. And in what way? In full knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Sometimes you meet someone, you say, oh, that person, oh, I think they look just like so-and-so. Likeness. Image. Now, we've been renewed after a certain image. Likeness. It's Christ. Is it so practically with us this afternoon, dear young people? It should be. And oh, if our hearts are right, how we desire that it would be so, practically. Not that we're occupied with ourselves. We're occupied with that object, that if occupying, we are occupied with him, there will be a change. Yes, there'll be a change. Now, he says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. Well, there are no distinctions, national, ecclesiastical, or whether social or racial distinctions They're all gone. They're all gone. They're all brethren in Christ. But Christ is all and in all. If they're Christians, he's in all. Now we put on the other garment in the next verse. What's this? And as he speaks of this, he speaks to us in the position we are in. We are elect. Isn't that wonderful? We are elect. That is, we have been chosen. We've been chosen of God. Holy. He doesn't say now that if you do all these things, you will be holy. He says you are holy. Now do these things. You are holy. And besides, you're beloved. Now that word holy may have different meanings. One of them is to be set apart. We have been set apart for God. And we are beloved. And that's the basis of the exhortation. How wonderful to be in such a position, dear young people. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, or lowliness, of mind. Lowliness of mind. These are exhortations. Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You see how Christ is brought into this? That's the basis of it all. We have the same life. It's hid with Christ in God. And yet, it should be manifested down here in our practical everyday living. Now there's one more thing to put on, and that's love, called charity here, which is the bond of perfectness, love. And as said before, how many ways this love can be demonstrated? How many privileges we have to show this love down here? And what a field for the expression of it. All about us in this poor world. Do we love souls? Are we interested in their welfare? And not in our own city merely, but how about in the far off places where some of our brethren have gone to give the gospel? Yes, we can express that love in helping in so many ways. Now let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ, it really should read. Rule in your hearts. Oh, what peace this is. In the Gospel of John, in the 15th chapter, possibly, we have a certain kind of peace mentioned that he was going to leave with his disciples. And that was the kind of peace that he had down here as a man as he walked according to as his father instructed him. He had a peace, a certain kind of peace. Now the Lord Jesus with the Father had always had peace. But there was a certain kind of peace that he had down here as a result of walking in the path of faith, in observing all that his Father had told him as a man down here. There was a certain peace that he had. Now he says, let this peace preside in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now the word of Christ is to dwell richly. So I ask my own soul, how much time do I spend on the precious Word of God? The apostle told Timothy in this connection that his profiting may appear to all. And you, dear young people, remember this, that there are older ones among us, and one by one, the older ones slip away. And if the Lord
tarries, there'll be a place for you to fit into, to be a help to your brethren. Remember that. And the sisters as well, there'll be a place to fit into that you can be a help. But you know, we need the Word of God, and we need it to dwell in us richly. Not simply to read a calendar verse in the morning, which is good in itself, but that's not meditation. That's not having the Word of God dwell richly in us. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. I suppose would suggest experiences, Christian experiences, past experiences, all that the Lord has done for us. Hymns would address him personally, perhaps. And spiritual songs would lift our souls above this world into another realm. How good these things are. But we sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Is this true of us in our singing? What kind of singing are we taken up with? What kind of music? Is it with grace in our hearts to the Lord? I think each one of us need this to be occupied with. Because, you know, there are certain things in songs that would lead our hearts away from the Lord and not to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Even a cup of cold water. Yet it will surely meet its reward in the name. And then the instructions here for all, for wives, to submit to the husband. This is proper, Scripture tells us. And the husband, the tendency may not be always to express love. And so the exhortation to the husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Be not bitter. And then we have instruction for children. And this is one of the things that characterizes Christianity predominantly. We've been called to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And how beautiful to see this in a child. Obeying willingly because it loves to obey the father and mother as a Christian. And you know, you who are parents, remember that you and I are really supposed to bring our children up as Christians and expect them to take that place. That's what faith does. Faith brings up the children as Christians and looking forward to the time when they will themselves see the truth and receive it. That's the privilege of the parent. But now the fathers are mentioned here, not to vex the children. And I'm sure that we need this exhortation, those who are fathers. Because temper arises sometimes when children are disobedient, but that's not the basis for bringing them up in the admonition of the Lord. No. Discipline may be needed, but it should be the result of love. Just as was expressed here in the 12th verse, where he begins the exhortation with beloved. And that's the basis upon which we bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, servants then. Not with eye service, as men pleasers. I suppose he's writing to those, many of them who were slaves in that day. And it was a hard, hard path to be a slave. But we have a wonderful testimony rendered by a slave who would follow these instructions as slaves. To, not as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Why? Well, the day is coming when they're going to learn that they were serving not their masters, but Christ. Serving Christ. So it says,
Whatsoever you do. This sums it all up. Whatsoever you do. My manner of life, my dress, everything I do. He says, whatsoever you do. Do we give attention to this in every detail of life? Whatsoever you do. Do it heartily as to the Lord. He's the head. Do we recognize his headship? If we do, everything we do, we will seek instruction from the Word of God. Is this not so? We won't take the pattern from the world, but from the Word of God. And it's there. Full instruction, every detail of life is in the Word of God. Knowing of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Ah, what are we going to have? We're going to have the whole inheritance with Christ. We're going to receive the reward of the inheritance in that day that's so near. For ye serve the Lord Christ. And then this solemn warning, should any disregard these instructions, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. And so, there might be some here this afternoon who are not believers. And if this be true, remember, you have made a profession outwardly, perhaps, of Christianity. And God's going to hold you responsible to it. You've had the light, and yet you disregard the Word of God. How solemn this is. And oh, may we search our hearts then this afternoon, dear young people. Is there anything here that we've had before us in which we are practicing that, in which we know better? We belong to heaven. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Now he's coming soon. Then we'll have the judgment seat of Christ, where every deed done in the body will be manifested. He's going to give rewards in that day. That's what's before us in this chapter. Reward of the inheritance. Let us remember that our life is hid with Christ in God.